I got a 69 Chevy with a 396 Fuelie heads and a Hurst on the floor. She's waiting tonight down in the parking lot outside the 7-Eleven store. Me and my partner Sonny built her straight out of scratch, and he rides with me from town to town. We only run for the money, got no strings attached.
If you're a Bruce Springsteen fan, you've probably imagined people Springsteen based so many of his songs on, like this one, Racing in the Street. There are communities that still exist across the country that rebuild cars and race them, including right here in Appalachia. For 50 years, Williamson Road in Roanoke, Virginia, has been the place to drive your hot rod. On any given Friday night, amid the glow of stoplights, fast food franchises, and international grocery stores, you can see cars and trucks modified with neon lights, spinning rims, and streamlined spoilers strutting from north to south and back again. This scene is part of Appalachian history. Americans love cars, period. But in Appalachia, we've always had a way of tinkering with objects to make them perform the way we want them to. As Inside Appalachia Folkways reporter Mason Adams has discovered, this is especially true with cars.
This story about cars actually started out as a story about moonshine. Appalachians have been making and selling whiskey since Europeans first settled in the mountains. Farmers could make more money by turning their corn crop into liquor than by hauling it to market and selling it as food. But in 1920, Prohibition made it illegal to make, sell, or drink whiskey. Mountaineers kept making it anyway. To get it out of the mountains without being caught, they used a new technology spreading across America, automobiles. The best type of car for running moonshine was one with lots of room to carry whiskey and a lot of speed to outrun the cops.
A lot of them hauled in four-door sedans because you could pack more in there.
That's Roddy Moore. He retired this year as director of the Blue Ridge Institute, a folklife center in Ferrum, Virginia, smack in the middle of what was once called the moonshine capital of the world.
Some cars, you could get 40 cases of liquor in there, and that's an investment.
Roddy says the price of whiskey fluctuated, but during Prohibition, the average price for a gallon was about $1.50. A 40-case load could sell for $360, a lot of money back then.
You really don't want to be caught. You want to take it wherever you're going, deliver it, get the money, and come home.
But things didn't always happen according to plan. That's why some moonshiners hired drivers who could outrun the police. They drove souped-up cars with bigger engines and a stiff suspension so the rear end wouldn't sag from the weight of all that whiskey. Some of those drivers went on to become NASCAR stars in the 60s and 70s. But Roddy says they were just the guys who got the limelight.
The real heroes that don't get the attention are the mechanics that were building the suspensions and that would handle a large, heavy weight of liquor in a trunk, or handle if you had to speed down the highway, you could go around the curve faster than the car behind you, and your motor was modified and you could outrun someone else.
That tradition of enhancing cars with custom parts has endured beyond the days of bootleggers. Roddy grew up tinkering with cars in Welch, West Virginia, and he still does today. But, he says, when he needs body work done, he calls his friend, Jeff Bennett.
Well, his father had been in the automotive business and was interested in hot rods, and Jeff grew up with that. And that interest went from father to son, like it's gone from Jeff to his son. So you've got three generations right there.
Jeff's father, Jack Bennett, ran Perfection Auto Body in Roanoke for 25 years and died last year. Jeff now operates a custom auto shop out of his home, where his son, Jeremy, assists him with high-end bodywork. Jeff functions a lot like the mechanics that Roddy says were the real heroes of moonshining, never winning plaudits behind the driver's seat, but doing a lot of work behind the scenes.
I worked on a lot of race cars and painted a lot of race cars, and I went to the races, but I never did it myself. I went to car shows and cruised around. I never had anything that would run fast.
Bennett's garage sits next to his house in Roanoke. On a balmy autumn evening, Jeff's son Jeremy works with him in the shop. Jeremy meticulously buffs the inside of a car hood, preparing it for another layer of paint.
Yeah, I mean, you got to sand it and get all up in the edges and cracks and stuff good or the paint won't stick.
Very few people notice the inside of a car's hood. But for Jeremy and his dad, Jeff, the inside of the hood is just as important as the parts of the car you do see. They don't want to just fix a car up for show, and they definitely don't want to add any of the gaudier features you can find on the street, like neon lights and spoilers, which look like wings mounted on the backs of cars. Jeff says he prefers a vintage look.
See, I'm into the traditional style cars. That's what I like. I like stuff that looked like it was built in 1960. So my term there is less is more.
The Bennett men are all about cars that are built right from the ground up. And I mean that literally. One of the cars in their shop is stripped down to its frame, with only the engine and front seat sitting on it bare. This is how Jeff completely restores a car. He strips it down, then builds it back up. He did the same thing to a 1931 Ford coupe he bought in North Carolina.
He basically made the whole bottom of the car. It was rotted off. Built the frame. I built the whole car from nothing. There was really nothing there.
Jeff's dad taught him how to do that.
He was a perfectionist. I guess he tried to teach me to be a perfectionist also, you know. His big thing, and I preach it to him, is edges. Make sure the edges of your, everything is straight, everything is perfect, everything is fixed. Edges will make you or break you, boy. That's what my dad did.
Jack Bennett, Jeff's dad, died last year, and Jeff's still grieving his loss. He says his dad taught him so much.
The first time I ever painted a car for the shop, I painted some cars for myself, but this was in when paint was kind of evolving into new base coat, clear coats, and all this stuff. Our painter quit. Actually, my dad probably fired him, but anyway. We had a car sitting in a paint booth and it had to be painted. He's like, you're gonna have to paint that car. I said, well, I had never sprayed that stuff before. He said, well, just go in there and paint. That's all I can tell you. So I went in there and started prepping the car. I came back out of the paint booth. He said, come here a minute. I said, what? We had a picnic table there. But he told me to sit at that table. That's the first time I've really talked about him since he died. So. We sat there and had a beer. He said, you feel better now? I said, yeah. He said, go paint the car. I went there and painted the car. And it looked really, really good.
Jeff's dad taught him to paint, and now he's taught his son Jeremy to paint.
I guess he's taught me everything, really. I don't know. I mean, because I didn't know a clue about how to do anything before I started here when I was like 14.
Jeremy helps Jeff in his shop, but he's also got his own interest, Volkswagen Bugs. He's completely restored two so far, including one vanilla and mint Beetle he drives around sometimes.
It's a good car to go out and drive and have fun. Because, you know, you get them too nice and people like to sit them in the garage and look at them. I'd get in this car and go somewhere right now.
Jeremy's in college, taking classes, and also working a full-time job. But he still spends about 10 hours a week with his dad in the shop. So the Bennetts are keeping their family tradition alive while carrying on an Appalachian craft that's been flourishing since Prohibition, tinkering with cars. Jeremy's Bugs probably wouldn't make good bootlegging cars, though. Not enough trunk space. From Roanoke, this is Mason Adams for Inside Appalachia.
Well, once upon a time, way back in the hills, there were some hard-driving buddies just a-working their steel. Had to get the merchandise into the